Oh, I've never been more inspired to wear a yellow jumpsuit. Here's the thing about Bottle Rocket. It's probably Wes Anderson's least seen film, or least talked about film still. I love it. But one thing that confuses me about it is that even though it doesn't have, say, the eccentric fashion of Royal Tenenbaums, and it doesn't have the color scheme of Grand Budapest Hotel, the core elements of what makes Wes Anderson films work is still there. For example, there's a character that's obsessed about something, and it's usually something in his movies that's unusual to be obsessed about. There is the classic walk and talk scenes between characters. Maybe there's a bit of a subconscious theft going on here in this podcast from that aspect. And also you have scenes where a character will narrate what they're doing as they're acting out the scene, if that makes sense.
I've got a whole new program. Bob and I get up at 5:30 every morning to run our paper route. We've got three jobs. The money isn't much, and Bob in particular isn't suited for this kind of work. But we keep each other company, and we both feel much better about ourselves now that we're working hard.
I've enjoyed it. On top of the fact that there are just moments that are uniquely charming to me. For example, when Dignan, played by Owen Wilson, is talking to Luke Wilson, Anthony, about how he got fired from his landscaping job.
Yes, they're landscapers. But did it ever occur to you that a landscaping crew is a perfect front for an operation, man? Now look at this. You've seen this picture. That is Mr. Henry. And aside from owning the Lawn Wranglers, he is a very talented thief.
Then why aren't you over there right now?
Because we're fugitives. And also because he fired me. Best job I ever had. Working my way up, meeting people, listening to stories. One day walks home and says, Dignan, you're out, just like that. By the way, man, he was right. It's just because it's a front doesn't mean somebody didn't have to do the actual landscaping. But those days are over now. It's just a matter of time before I pick up the phone and I say, Mr. H, we are coming home. So don't worry about your future, man, because I am thinking.
Someone talking about one of their favorite aspects of the day being going to work and listening to stories is so charming and endearing. It's one of the things that I love about his movies, and it's something that you can look at his later style and all the things that go into it, and then look at Bottle Rocket and see that all that stuff is actually there.
Potential getaway driver, go. Go.
Well, I think there's a real air of mystery about
me. Don't complicate. Your number one strength is you have a car you can provide. Sell yourself. Start over. You ready? Go.
Okay. All right. I'm a risk taker. I'm growing an entire crop of marijuana plants in my parents' backyard. I think that shows
a
little...
Wait a second. You're growing an entire crop of marijuana in your backyard?
Dignan, look. I'm just not that good at this selling yourself stuff, okay? So I'm just going to tell you the truth. I really want to be a part of this team. And I'm the only one with a car.
That's good, because that hits me right here.
But what's fascinating to me is to think about how an artist's work, whatever their medium is, film or painting, music, to think about their early years and the potential gold within, where you think one moment that you weren't onto something, and then the next moment it becomes clear that you actually were. And maybe the difference between people who make it to next levels or up their game are the people who recognize those little seeds, those little germs of ideas, and can develop them and work with them, and who recognize that that's what they do well and that's what actually will connect with other people. Maybe another example could be the painter Mark Rothko. If you look at what he became known for, you know, it wasn't like he started doing that from the beginning. You go back and look at some of his paintings, like the one that's in the train station, and you look at parts of it and you can see where the future style was going to come from, or like the root or the seed of it. I'm reading this interesting book right now, Marcel Duchamp, The Afternoon Interviews with Calvin Tompkins. And There's a moment in the book where Marcel Duchamp is talking about his own self-discovery, his own artistic discovery, his discovery of his artistic self. I suppose it must be the attitude of anybody who wants to find something of his own. To do something of your own, you've got to forget what you've learned. And once you begin forgetting, you're bound to find something else. Of course, you can try and never succeed. You think you're doing something entirely your own, and a year later, you look at it and you see actually the roots of where your art comes from without your knowing it at all. Well, there was nothing psychoanalytic about it, I can tell you that. I'm not conscious of any reason except the reason that you've got to find yourself if you have a self to find. I suppose after 40 years, you can see the self that you were, but at that time, you're too immature to know what you're doing. That's always the difference between the time you do a thing and the time after, when you discover that there was something entirely new in it. So in thinking about film and art and time and how our perceptions change around it, I want to play for you to end this a conversation between director Wes Anderson and another director, Noah Baumbach, where Anderson is talking about Bottle Rocket, and he's talking about how when it was screened, first screened, and it's his first feature film, remember, about how confident he was that this was going to be the one. People are going to be like, hey, there he is right there. That's the guy. Let's chant his name, applaud. I'm improvising a little bit, ad-libbing. But how he went into that screening process for Bottle Rocket with that state of mind, and how actually, in reality, people ended up walking out one by one. Before I play that clip, remember, you can subscribe here, please. I'll love you if you do. I know you're out there. Connect with this show. And I'll love you even more, maybe, if you can go to the Patreon and support us there. Keep this thing going every week.
I'm sure you have examples that are where you did things you wish you hadn't. But yeah, but that you knew immediately, no, I'm not going to do it like that. I want to do it this way.
Yes. Well, I think you mean doing Bottle Rocket?
Doing Bottle Rocket, yeah.
Well, that's the funny thing. I feel like I was never more confident in my life than when we made that film.
Yeah.
And never less confident than when we screened it. Mm-hmm. The first time we screened it was part two of my life. Because up to that point, my attitude was, just wait till they see this.
Right.
And a lot of people were, does this story hold together? Or, do people going to understand why these boys are acting like this? And I was like, I think they're going to understand. It's pretty funny. And then we screened it you've heard me tell this many times, I suppose,
but maybe they
relive it.
Yeah.
Yes. We screened it in Santa Monica at the AMC 17 or something like that on the 3rd Street Promenade.
For an audience.
For an audience of, yeah. Of 400 people. And as the reels unspooled, I was sitting in the back row with all the studio executives, everybody, and I began to see people leaving, and they were leaving in groups. People don't go to the bathroom in groups. They're not coming back.
Uh-huh.
They take their coats. And it became really excruciating. I went at a certain point. I left. I tried to be very discreet about it because I didn't want to add to the exodus feeling, but I also couldn't take it. And I watched. I went up to the projection booth and watched. And they just left all through the film. And it was really a miserable thing. But I remember there was a. Afterwards we had the audience cards, the reactions, and you get the S-U-C-K-D. that's the sort of thing you get. And a lot of things where favorite whatever, none. One after another. But I remember that we were going through it, we're just kind of analyzing it. Everyone's feeling bad for me, that I won't be able to do this with my life, And then I remember there's one, then I got one of these, and it was like a, you know, outline of a dissertation. This girl had sat there a lot longer than everybody else, and she'd written a whole thing, and she quoted things, and she said this stuff, and I was like, and I remember in the room, I was like, this is our audience. there was literally one positive thing. And I didn't get the, you know, I was like, this is, she's getting everything. A few years later, several years, like 6 years later, I was at like a, some kind of function, and this girl, you know, some kind of film thing or it's a DGA thing or something, and this girl is afterwards and introduced herself to me and says, I was at your screening in Santa Monica. I was like, I know who you are. I know exactly who you are. She was uncomfortable. She wasn't sure what I was talking about. No, I know you.